New proposed budget, same old user fees and taxes. Airline performance declined in 2007, and don't hold your breath for 2008. And Congress will analyze the safety data NASA refused to unscramble. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, February 6th, 2008. On Monday, the Bush administration released its proposed budget for fiscal year 2009. And for general aviation interests, it was a case of deja vu. The new budget reprises the administration's push for deep cuts in aid for smaller airports, a 70-cent per gallon increase in taxes on aviation fuel, and user fees for access to portions of the air traffic control system. Transportation Secretary Mary Peters touted the administration's $688 million allocation for the transition to the next-gen air traffic control system. Quote, "If last year's record traffic jams and flight delays taught us anything, it is that traditional approaches are not capable of producing the results we need to keep America's economy growing," unquote. Peters continued the drumbeat for user fees to fund next-gen. General aviation advocacy groups appeared surprised. Phil Boyer, president of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, reviewed the proposal and commented, quote, "What part of no doesn't the White House understand? They just changed the dates and submitted essentially the same proposal as last year, a proposal soundly rejected by the general aviation community, the House, and the Senate," unquote. Pete Bunce, president and CEO of the General Aviation Manufacturers Association, also termed the budget proposal more of the same failed plan. Quote, "GAMA continues to categorically oppose user fees of all types on any segment of the aviation community. We will continue our efforts with Congress to complete action this year on an FAA reauthorization bill, but quite frankly, the administration pushing a financing scheme that Congress has already rejected makes our job tougher," unquote. The president also wants to cut the FAA's airport improvement program by $765 million from 2008 levels, providing about $1 billion less than what Congress has already approved. Boyer calls the proposal a waste of government resources in ideological posturing. The proposed cut to airport funding angered Airports Council International North America, which also questioned the logic of steps to increase traffic capacity while cutting funding for improvements to the nation's airport infrastructure. ACINA President Greg Principato noted the administration's 2009 budget also would eliminate funding for the Small Community Air Service Program, as well as significantly reduce the Essential Air Service Program. Quote, "These programs are critical for small communities throughout this country," unquote. Boyer summed up, quote, "The facts bear repeating. The current funding system of aviation excise taxes will generate all the necessary funds for air traffic control modernization and for new runways. Let's go with what we know works and what the general aviation public and Congress will support," unquote. The DOT has released figures for airline performance in 2007, and they're grim, even worse than 2006. DOT's Bureau of Transportation Statistics reported that 20 airlines reporting on-time performance to the agency recorded an on-time arrival rate of 73.4% in 2007. That's the second worst since DOT began keeping track in 1995. Lost and mishandled bags were up 5%. Complaints to the DOT about airline service were up 58%. Expanded statistics are available in the print version of this story on our website at aero-news.net. Kevin Mitchell, chairman of the Business Travel Coalition, told Bloomberg the worst is yet to come. Quote, "Travelers should look back on 2007 with a sense of fondness. It's going to get worse. These will be the good old days," unquote. Congressman Bart Gordon of the House Science and Technology Committee, a Tennessee Democrat, has called on the Government Accountability Office to step in and provide analysis of NASA's recently released report on airline safety, compiled from 24,000 interviews with pilots over more than 4 years. The data was originally withheld by NASA out of an expressed concern for its potential negative impact on airline profits. After a year of requests from the Associated Press under the Freedom of Information Act and eventual pressure from Congress, the data was finally released, but with no summaries or other help in understanding the results. NASA Administrator Michael Griffin went on to attempt to discredit the NASA employees and contractors who worked on the survey. Gordon told AP, quote, "NASA won't do the work, so I'm asking the GAO to bring back some answers to the committee that we can then share with the country," unquote. The GAO will compare the NASA study against incident data gathered by the FAA. Another congressman, Representative Benny Thompson of Mississippi, has given the Transportation Security Administration 2 weeks to report to his committee what the agency is doing to positively identify police officers before allowing them to bring their guns with them onto airliners. The Clarion Ledger reports the letter from Thompson to TSA's Kip Hawley follows the discovery that Jackson Mayor Frank Melton was apparently allowed to board airliners with a gun after presenting a gold-colored badge and a letter from a former Jackson police chief. Thompson sponsored a bill in 2007 which ordered the creation of a biometric ID system for armed passengers by January 3, 2009. The law essentially requires a whole new high-tech system for which the TSA has no budget. In that sense, Thompson's latest letter may actually be welcomed at TSA. It could provide an opportunity to request that extra money. Up next on ANN, the Pentagon likes the 09 budget, but the next president won't. NASA says it would rather buy launches from entrepreneurs than from the Russians. And a clueless 172 pilot busts the Super Bowl TFR. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for February 6th, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. While the Bush administration's proposed fiscal 2009 budget raised neck hairs at AOPA, military sources say the Pentagon is actually reasonably content with its slice of the pie. The Washington Post reports the budget requests $515 billion for the DoD. That's a 7.5% increase over this year and includes a 3.4% pay raise for military personnel. The White House also requested another $70 billion in short-term funding for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Defense officials made it clear Monday they will need more in that line, adding they might be unable to pay soldiers fighting overseas by June without it, with likely operational issues soon to follow. The budget also contains a potential landmine for whoever succeeds Bush as president. Brookings Institution military analyst Michael O'Hanlon notes the 2009 budget will represent few, if any, sacrifices for the military, and he expects the Pentagon to spend even more money on weapons procurement, which will make it very difficult for the next president to cut funding. NASA applauded the fiscal 2009 budget proposal, which would fund continued exploration of the solar system, building the International Space Station, studying the Earth from space, and conducting aeronautics research. NASA Deputy Administrator Shauna Dale said the president's proposed increase demonstrates Bush's commitment to the agency's missions. The NASA budget is over $14 billion, which Dale notes is still less than 1% of the federal budget. There's also $173 million earmarked for partnerships with private sector space companies. Dale explains, quote, "The development of space simply cannot be all government all the time," unquote. In an obvious reference to reliance on Russian launch vehicles after the NASA shuttle fleet retires in 2010, a plan criticized by some in Congress, by the way, she added, quote, "With over $2.6 billion in NASA funds available over the next 5 years to purchase cargo and crew services to support ISS operations, we would much rather be using this money to purchase cargo and crew services from American commercial companies than foreign entities," unquote. Less than a week after a Phoenix TV reporter portrayed careless general aviation pilots as a safety threat to Super Bowl 42, A clueless pilot in a Cessna 172 gave the expose added credence by flying 7 miles into the restricted zone Sunday afternoon, about 20 minutes before kickoff. FAA spokesman Ian Greger said the plane was traveling from Ryan Field Airport in Tucson to Buckeye Municipal Airport and was intercepted by military aircraft, then directed to land at Buckeye. Department of Homeland Security officials met the pilot there and questioned him. A spokesman for the airport said the pilot wasn't aware Buckeye was included in the TFR. The plane reportedly never came closer than 20 miles to the stadium and was the only one to bust the airspace during the Super Bowl. Greger commented, quote, "For the most part, pilots do a good job being aware of where they should or shouldn't fly," unquote. On Monday, Hawaiian Airlines announced it recently signed a definitive purchase agreement with Airbus to acquire 12 new long-range wide-body aircraft, six each A330s and A350XWBs, and secure purchase rights for an additional 12 aircraft. The airline reached agreements on the introduction of the new aircraft with its pilot and flight attendant unions, which had threatened to veto the deal. The airline says the fleet expansion will allow it to open new routes to more distant markets on a nonstop basis from Hawaii. Deliveries will stretch from 2012 to 2020. Terms were not disclosed. Still ahead, JetBlue rebounds, but Wall Street is still yawning. United wants to charge you for that second checked bag. And Cessna appoints a director to oversee Skycatcher production in China. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, February 6th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. While many stocks are down this week, JetBlue's stock price has seen a resurgence of late. But analysts and competitors remain skeptics and say the rise in the company's valuation will be temporary. JetBlue stock was up 44% last week after a positive earnings report on Tuesday. For the year, the stock is up about 16% in all, compared with a 12% increase in overall airline stock prices. Following its all-time high near $31, the stock got hammered in 2007. After horrendous weather-related flight delays and cancellations in February and March made the company the butt of late-night comedy shows and prompted mass management changes, JetBlue closed this past Friday at $6.89. TheStreet.com reports that Continental CEO Larry Kellner scoffs at the recent buy-in to JetBlue by Lufthansa. Speaking on an investor conference call last month, Kellner said, quote, "We probably have dozens of models. I can assure you that the thought of somebody taking a 19% stake in JetBlue wasn't one of them," unquote. Analysts have suggested Lufthansa made the move to take advantage of the cheap dollar rather than for any strategic reasons. JetBlue has said it's pursuing commercial opportunities with Lufthansa, growing revenue from its live TV service, which provides in-flight TV and internet connectivity to 8 airlines, and is luring business travelers with refundable fares and a cabin upgrade. But so far, Wall Street's yawning, noting that JetBlue stock is already trading at about 57 times its expected 2008 earnings. But Mike Durchin of FTN Midwest concedes that, quote, "The new management team seems to be on the right track," unquote. He also notes that the new management will look very successful compared to last year. Durchin expects JetBlue to earn 14 cents a share this year, up from earlier predictions of a 12 cent per share loss. In a move competitors will watch with interest, United Airlines has announced that starting May 5th, it will charge customers buying discounted or non-refundable tickets a $25 fee for a second checked bag and $100 each for bags 3 and 4. The airline says the move is intended to counter rising fuel prices and will not apply to flyers in its elite program, who travel over 25,000 miles a year. Strollers, car seats, wheelchairs, essential medical equipment, they'll all continue to be free of charge, but sports equipment will count as a second bag. Critics point out the people most affected by the change will be family vacationers. But John Tague, Executive Vice President and Chief Revenue Officer, says the impact won't be as severe as it sounds. Quote, Our customer research shows that only about 1 in 4 customers check a second bag. And with this new policy, customers who check extra bags may continue to do so for a service fee, which enables us to offer competitive fares to everyone, unquote. Cessna has appointed Mike Shi, director of Cessna China Operations. Shi will oversee production of the 172 Skycatcher and support other business development opportunities in China. He'll be based at Textron's Shanghai office and report to David Brandt, Cessna's senior VP of product engineering. Shi joined Cessna in 1989. He's held various engineering leadership positions and most recently was director of aircraft structural integrity for all Cessna models. He has experience with detailed structural analyses and certification, support for global sourcing and program management. He's also been involved in Cessna's customer support, certification support, and supplier assessment in China. Shi has a bachelor's degree and a master's in aerospace engineering from Wichita State. And last but not least among his qualifications, he's fluent in Mandarin and Cantonese. And finally, on a related note, ANN received tips from our news spies last month that Cessna had taken down its webpage for the Skycatcher. Our inquiries to the company were met with no comment. Well, now the Skycatcher site is back, but gone is the barely moderated blog which had featured self-described would-be buyers trashing the company for its decision to build the 162 in China. In its place is a page under single-engine pistons, consistent with the company's brochure-like layout for its other piston singles. With the change comes this invitation, quote, "We now invite you to submit your comment to our site editors for consideration of online posting, much like traditional publishing. This will give us a better opportunity to respond with our own comments on a more regular basis," unquote. And then, in answer to the obvious suspicion, quote, "You can rest assured that views representative of all sides of an issue will be chosen for display on the site by our editorial staff," unquote. Which, as we all know, of course, is exactly how traditional publishing works. Flame off! That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN's Jim Campbell begins a conversation with two Florida aviation attorneys who were working on a lawsuit against Silver State Helicopters when the company suddenly closed and then declared bankruptcy on Monday. Hundreds of instructors are out of work. Hundreds of students are left with home mortgage-sized debts after paying for training they didn't receive. And it's not clear how things will go from here. We'll present this extensive interview in two parts, today and tomorrow. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.